I'm kind of curious how this actually plays out clinically. And you have a young patient, 61-year-old man, who ended up getting CAR T therapy. What happened there?
Yeah, so this guy came to me. He looked like your garden variety myeloma patient when I saw him initially. He didn't have any high-risk cytogenetics. But one thing I noticed about him is he kind of kinetically was high risk in the sense that he'd have a response and just his M protein would start to uptick very slightly, very quickly after pausing therapy. So he initially got lenalidomide, bortezomib, and dexamethasone, went into, I think, a VGPR, went on to transplant, and he was on actually a clinical trial to look at ixazomib, lenalidomide, dexamethasone consolidation as planned consolidation and actually progressed by M protein during this time. So he's taken off study. And then he went on a CD38 antibody study that we had at our institution and did well there for a few cycles, but then progressed after that. And when he progressed at that time, he had pretty high burden disease. So I actually admitted him to the hospital and gave him cyclophosphamide-based therapy just to reduce his disease burden. He tolerated that well and then went on to outpatient pomalidomide, cyclophosphamide, and dexamethasone therapy, or PomCy-Dex, which has been shown to be also a good salvage regimen for patients who haven't seen those drugs. I thought he was responsive to alkylators, and that's why I chose that. But very soon after that, a couple of cycles later, he started to show progression. And so now he had had three lines. He had had exposure to anti-CD38 antibodies, so he went on to get enrolled in our CAR T-cell trial. And, you know, he was in pretty good shape otherwise, had good social support. We thought he'd be a good candidate. So he went on, and he was one of the few people that I didn't need to give bridging therapy to in between collecting the cells and giving the cells. And so he went into the CAR T study with a very good amount of disease, a pretty high burden of disease.
Could I just ask, how long does it take from the time you collect the cells to the time you reinfuse them?
It's about 5 weeks. And that's not so much related to production, but also related to QC and things you have to be careful about, you know, because it's a product coming from somewhere else. So this is all necessary time right now. It may be shorter in the future. So that sometimes requires that patients get what we call bridging therapy in between, because they really can't be 5 weeks without any therapy. And remembering that before you get those cells collected, you already have to have 2 weeks that you don't have any therapy because you don't want your lymphocytes to be affected by steroids, et cetera. So patients can't be off therapy for 2 months. You know, it's too much for them. So a lot of them do require bridging therapy. This particular patient did not, but by the time he came to our CAR T part of it with the lymphodepleting chemotherapy and CAR T cells, he really did have a pretty significant amount of disease. So he got the therapy, actually did fairly well, had a grade 1 CRS and was treated successfully with tocilizumab.
Did you admit him to the hospital to start the treatment?
Right. So most of the protocols are requiring initial admission for the first 2 weeks of CAR T. That's not a definitive, and I think ultimately we'll be able to do a lot of this as an outpatient. But at least for this particular type of study, we had to admit him for the first 2 weeks of the therapy.
So if they feel well, they're just sitting around for 2 weeks?
Correct. Yeah, it can get kind of boring, actually. But it's a necessary factor for this type of treatment right now as we're just learning about it.